Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Living on Earth started its weekly broadcast 16 years ago this month. And to mark our anniversary, we're taking a fresh listen to some of the award-winning reports we've aired over the years, and to get caught up with the people and issues at the heart of the stories. This week, we head back to 2001 and toward Mexico's Sea of Cortez, also known as the Gulf of California. That's where reporter Barbara Ferry found Sandy Lanham swooping low over the water in a 45-year-old Cessna aircraft to help track endangered wildlife. That story won a Gracie Allen Award from the Foundation of American Women in Radio and Television. And soon after, Sandy Lanham herself won a MacArthur Genius Grant for her work. We'll talk with Sandy Lanham in a few minutes, but first, let's take a listen to Mexico's Eco Pilot. The story was produced by Barbara Ferry of Homelands Productions.
More gas?
Sandy Lanham walks around her tiny airplane doing a safety check before taking off from La Paz's airport. Her long brown hair whips around her face as she leans over the propeller on the windy tarmac, surrounded by giant Aeroméxico jets taking off and landing.
Feel the propeller in case the stone hit it. Your last flight, see if there's any nicks or cracks or anything bad.
Lanham's plane, nicknamed Emily, is a 1956 Cessna. Its chipped yellow and brown paint gives it a raggedy look. But Lanham says Emily has earned her scars. The plane is the oldest of its model still in the sky.
I like that it's an old airplane that I think is doing the best work of its life at the end. Appeals to me, gives me hope. I tell people it has bad paint and a good heart.
Sandy Lanham founded Environmental Flying Services after working as a flight instructor, a social worker, a belly dancing teacher, and a print saleswoman. She says it was just good luck that she realized she could create a new career out of three things she loves: Mexico, wildlife, and flying.
I was living in Mexico for 10 months. I had bought an airplane, didn't know what to do with it, had to do something with it, could not afford it, and I went away for the weekend, and when I got back, the kids ran up to me, kids living on the block in this Mexican little town, and said, "The police are looking for you. The police are looking for you." And, it scared me.
As it turned out, it was the environmental group Conservation International that had asked the police to track down Lanham. The group was looking for a pilot to help with a research project over the Gulf of California. That flight led to others, and Lanham soon found out that researchers were desperate for pilots. Now, 11 years and thousands of miles later, she makes a quick stop into the airport office to file her flight plan before taking off on today's mission. Today we'll be flying over San Jose Channel, a narrow waterway between the Baja Peninsula and a tiny island. Our mission is to track blue whales, part of a long-term study to understand the importance of the Gulf to these largest mammals on Earth. Diane Gendron, a biologist with the Interdisciplinary Center for Marine Sciences in La Paz, heads the study. Armed with binoculars and a camera, Gendron climbs on board next to Lanham. We take off, leaving behind the brown desert city. Soon we're flying, though it feels more like floating, above the brilliant jewel-like sea.
Boy, look at the mirror of that lagoon with the mountains, brown mountains reflected in the water. It's incredible.
Yeah, that green, red.
The ocean is like a thick soup of marine life. Everywhere we look, we see something. Gendron and Lanham point out schools of dolphin and mackerel, along with fin whales, humpbacks, a sperm whale, even a rarely seen sei whale.
Oh, there's a whale.
Oh, God, maybe that's a sperm. Let's go look.
It looks like a blue whale.
Oh.
The blue whales are about 80 feet long, four times bigger than our plane. But as we lean out the open windows, they look like small steamships chugging along in the water.
Looks blue.
The blue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turquoise line.
Yep.
It's so easy.
What a pretty place for it to be.
Some days, Lanham flies for hours and hours without seeing anything. And though she says the absence of wildlife is valuable information, Lanham admits it's more fun when she circles down low to get a close look at something.
There's something out here too.
Okay.
Oh, it was a fluke. I think it's the humpback.
Oh, great.
Sometimes you fly so low or you drop down so low because of an updraft or I'm not sure what. You know, all the spout, the blow of the whale drifted through the open window. I mean, we were literally wiping a blue whale's breath off our faces. Our faces were wet with blue whale breath.
Getting this close to the water can be perilous, and there are other dangers. Fog can roll in suddenly. Tiny stopover airports can run out of fuel. Lanham keeps a life raft on board as well as a marine radio. And affixed to the dashboard, she has a medallion of San Isidro Labrador. He's the saint Mexicans pray to for rain. Lanham prays to him for no rain, at least not while she's flying.
I'm going to see if I can get rid of this tower guy. Oh, there's something else right ahead. Let's do him first. Something I'm going to put on your side.
During the 700 hours or so she spends in the air each year, Lanham sees wildlife in places no one imagined. Her sightings of threatened shorebirds, rare turtle nests, and endangered pronghorn antelope have helped win critical habitat protection for these species. And Lanham sees animals behave in ways that surprise even the scientists who spend their lives studying them. Just yesterday, she saw a gathering of hundreds of sharks in the water, a sight that baffled marine biologists. Even more common behavior can be a remarkable sight from 1,000 feet up.
You fly over an area that looks just like when you lift the lid on your washing machine when it's in the agitate cycle, let's say in the dark clothes, you see your Levi's and you're not quite sure which is a leg and which is a butt. And that was kind of going on. You know, I didn't know what was happening. And then kind of my confusion cleared up pretty quickly. I understood that this was a copulation circle, which took at least 3 animals, male, female, and a juvenile male, who was helping to hold the female up against the male, holding the animals together so they could copulate.
It is a definite 9. Waypoint 819. Good, and she's going down. Oh, she's a fluker.
Oh.
She's a fluker. Great.
Lanham uses a satellite-based global positioning system to record the exact position of all the whales she and Gendron see. Later, Gendron will hook up the GPS to her computer to download the information for each whale they've spotted.
Up, and I got a sperm whale right underneath me.
I have a blue whale, too, when you have a chance.
Sperm whale is a 35, one sperm whale.
820?
Yes, for you.
After 4 hours in the sky, we head back to the airport.
Silver Bravo, see your present position.
Cessna 04 Bravo is 15 DME, radial 330, con un minuto 10.
Back on land, Lanham remembers wanting to be a pilot ever since she was a young girl growing up outside Detroit. Although she loved exploring the woods near her house, the tall trees of Michigan made her feel claustrophobic. She imagined herself flying high up above them with a long view of the earth. But it wasn't until she became a mother and was going stir-crazy at home with her daughter that Lanham signed up for flying lessons.
And after about a year of this, she was in nursery school, and the teachers were having the kids write little books. And it was about what mommies do, what daddies do. And her little book, which, you know, she brought home was, Daddies Go to Work, Read the Books, Drive the Cars. Mommies Take Care of the Kids, Cook the Foods, and Fly the Airplanes.
Since those early days, Lanham has learned a lot. She's now known as one of the best bush pilots working in Latin America. And research colleagues like whale biologist Diane Gendron say they inherently trust her.
Since the first time I flew with Sandy, I felt very safe. And when she hear me saying that, she always look at me and say, you can't say that because it's not safe to fly. You never know what's going to happen. But what I mean by that is that I feel that I'm in good hands.
Lanham is so devoted to her work that French joke she should wear a sign that says, "We'll fly for food." And it's true that even with all the time she spends writing and occasionally landing grants, Lanham makes a lean living at times. But her clients say Lanham's services are invaluable. Jorge Cancino of the Center for Biological Research in La Paz studies endangered pronghorn antelope in the deserts of Baja California.
O sea, sin ella no volamos. Podríamos buscar otras posibilidades.
Without her, we don't fly. Maybe we would look for other options, but with the costs and with the way we work, there really isn't any other way.
No hay otra manera.
As an American working in Mexico, Lanham feels frustrated that environmental groups are relatively well-funded in the United States, while those south of the border struggle to survive. As she flies back and forth across the border, that political line is as invisible to her as it is to the wildlife which migrate across it.
The border is relevant only to a political system, but if you want to protect ducks in the United States, you have to protect their wintering ground in Mexico. If you want to protect whales. I'm not trying to protect Mexican whales. These are whales that don't recognize the border, not part of their DNA, let's say.
After a day of flying, Lanham gathers with her colleagues at a restaurant in La Paz. Over seafood, margaritas, and cigarettes, she entertains them with tales of her airplane adventures. Sometimes even bathroom stops can be dangerous.
We're in the bushes when I notice that there are four men, like, running down the runway towards us with guns. With guns. Right. And so we then, you know, I'm pulling my pants up if I'm running back into the airplane, climbing in, he climbs in, door shut, no back taxi, no engine warm-up, just crank the thing on and go.
Running into narcotraficantes or being mistaken for a drug runner by the Mexican Air Force are the kinds of adventures Lanham says she'd rather avoid. Of course, there are plenty of times when flying is just tedious and exhausting.
When you're flying pronghorn surveys, you're half asleep half the time. It's so boring. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of your eye, you know, you catch a movement. And it's an animal that's running, second fastest running animal in the world. It's moving like a sail. And you see a group of 10, and I guess you kind of wonder how so much life, you know, and how much energy can happen in a place that's so still.
It's moments like these which help explain why, despite the low pay and risks, Lanham thinks she has the ideal job. Some might call it a crazy career choice, but she says she's one of the lucky ones.
If there's any, like, goal in life, it's just to, like, find out what it is that you can do well, put it together in a way that you can both enjoy your life and also do some good, do something that matters. I mean, how can you be any better than that?
For Living on Earth, I'm Barbara Ferry in La Paz, Mexico.
A lot has changed in the world since we first aired the story you just heard, but the mission is still the same for Sandy Lanham. We tracked her down in Tucson, Arizona, and Sandy, I understand you're still flying.
Oh, yeah, I was just flying yesterday.
What do you see now, some 6 years later, in terms of the animals you were observing before? What's life like now for the whales of Baja California?
Well, it was interesting listening to this program, which I haven't listened to in a long time, because last week I came back from working with Diane Gendron, who was in Barb Ferry's story. And I'd like to report that mostly because of her work, we now know that the Gulf of California is the only known nursery for the entire North Pacific population of blue whales. No other place in the Pacific that we know of where whales come to raise their young and perhaps even give birth.
Listening to the story again, I was caught by the story of the shark school. How are those animals doing?
You know, I was not flying for sharks. This happens all the time. I was flying for something else, probably was for whales. And so we came across this huge aggregation of maybe 600 sharks. And I eventually reported it to a shark institute in Florida. And the experts there believe that they were probably silkies, which was really interesting because the man casually informed me that they wouldn't have guessed that there were that many in the entire Gulf, let alone in one ball, which is what we saw. So it was probably some kind of breeding activity that just nobody happened to be in the right place at the right time to observe before.
So, Sandy, soon after this story aired, you received the MacArthur Genius Grant for your work as an eco pilot. What'd you do with the money?
Well, I think the money kept me in operation. One thing that I'm not sure if anybody knows is just how on the edge I was. It was not, people would ask me if I have funding for the next year, and it's usually that I didn't have funding for the next week. And so after the MacArthur money started coming in, I didn't have those worries anymore.
Did you get yourself a new airplane?
Actually, it took me a couple years to do it, but I did get a new, at least new to me, airplane. And I moved up in the world, actually retired that 1956 airplane, and I got a 1958 airplane.
Ooh, whoa, okay.
No. I wanted that. I liked it.
Uh-huh.
If I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't get one of the newer ones.
B.B. King has a song, "The Thrill Is Gone," but it doesn't sound like to me that the thrill of being in the air has gone for you.
Actually, the thrill is not gone. You know, actually, the flights within the last 3 weeks have been as close as you can come to perfect, which to me means no mechanical problems, good weather. We've had a window of weather, and especially the work with Diane, the blue whale researcher, was just fantastic. So the thrill is not gone. I just think I found my niche in life, and I'm going to be happy with this until I die.
Sandy Lanham is an eco-pilot with her company, Environmental Flying Services. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And keep flying.
Tomorrow.
Next week on Living on Earth, we continue our retrospective series and revisit a question we first raised in an award-winning story from a decade ago. It's the perfect food for infants, but what about all the toxins that can also be carried in human breast milk?
That evening, when my son fell back, milk-drunk and ruddy-cheeked in my arms, I carried him upstairs with a sense of unease. Was he really as all right as he looked? I needed to know if my milk contained chemical time bombs that might wait half his life to go off.
Breastfeeding baby, a modern dilemma, next time on Living on Earth.